We will come back to order. Cynthia, take it away, please.
All right. Good morning, Chair. Thank you, and commission members. We have a deputy director over there. We have a director who will arrive. happy to be here this morning to talk with you about our annual Lands 2020 slate. I did have a question during the break from public about what is Lands 2020? So it's good to start right there. So this is the annual cycle in which we ask ourselves whether and which projects for acquisition might be a good strategic fit for Department of Fish and Wildlife ownership. And just also want to remind you that this is a very lengthy process. We do this every year. We start with our call out for proposals internally in July. Those proposals come in and end up on my desk in the October timeframe. We go various different statewide reviews and rankings and look at funding opportunities. And then we go through and vet them with EMT and vet them with the public. And then we come here to give you a briefing on all of those things. That is where we are at with this process. And this is a briefing, as I just mentioned. What will come out of this will be a director's decision about the slate to move forward in terms of approval to pursue funding. So this is different than when Julie comes in before you most months with the actual, we're at the point of purchase. Okay, so this is really early on in that process. And just for your awareness, we align the timeline of this process with the biennial cycle, with the timing in the year of the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program grant funding category, which is one of the major categories that we utilize for purchasing lands. Question?
Got a public question. What is Lands 2020? I've always wondered what the 2020 was.
2020 is a clear vision for lands for WDFW. There have been lots of questions. Well, it's the year 2020. Shouldn't we be looking at that? The process remains the same. We annually, maybe improve our application questions, that kind of thing, but we will still be coming to you with Lands 2020 in the year 2021. All right. So with that, the first thing I just want to always orient us to is why does WDFW own and manage land? So our work for lands is about protecting land and water for wildlife and people in service to our mission. And the vision is a Washington where fish and wildlife thrive in healthy habitats and where people experience and enjoy our state's natural gifts for generations to come. These lands and waters provide access for fishing, hunting, and other wildlife-related recreation. They foster experiences in exploration and preserve natural and cultural heritage. And I know you're aware of the numbers. We own and manage about 1 million acres throughout the state and over 500 water access sites. Areas, sorry. Why? Again, we buy land in service to our mission, specifically to conserve and restore the diversity of our state's fish and wildlife species and habitats, to enhance sustainable fishing, hunting, and other wildlife-related outdoor opportunities, to improve management of our current lands, and to preserve working lands for agriculture, forestry, and other sectors of the outdoor economy, particularly in rural areas. When we're looking at whether or not to acquire lands, WDFW asks ourselves these questions, and these are the questions that are illustrated through the application in the Lands 2020 process. We only buy from willing sellers. We look at partnership opportunities. We ask if acquisition is the best conservation alternative. Are there other ways to conserve these lands? We ask whether or not conservation easement and retaining private ownership would fulfill the conservation need in the place. We look at the long-term opportunities and the ecological values of the site. We we look for larger and more contiguous habitats that would make more sense for us to own and manage, and we assess the ecological and social importance. So again, the steps in the process, we on the ground sort of have a sense of scoping. We have a set of strategic acquisition priorities that outline what kinds of things we're looking for. Land acquisition is an opportunistic event, and so we can't say we need these five things, we're going to go find them. It depends on what willing sellers are out there. Then we go through the Lands 2020 process, where we look at what is available and proposed. And what you don't see in this presentation is the projects that have fallen out during the regional vetting process. So we don't, you know, things float to the top, and that's what ends up coming to Olympia and coming here. Once we get the director's approval for the slate of projects, the Lands 2020 approved list, a project will last for 6 years on that list and will be in the time frame for pursuing funding. Another question.
When you're talking about prioritizing what we're looking for, speaking for myself, one of my big priorities is wildlife corridors. Is there a list of our priorities somewhere?
There is, and I often have that with me in these presentations. I don't have it today, but we have a document that looks at specifically the statewide priorities, and then region by region. There's some specific, like shrub steppe is a priority, fishing access is a priority. That list exists, and actually that list is something that needs to be upgraded at this point because it has a life through 2019.
Thank you, Cindy.
Commissioner Smith, please.
The frequency of just the public coming to us and saying, or somebody in the out there, that I have this amount of land that I'm interested in possibly selling, is that a very common, like a monthly sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we get them, our lands agents, and we have a lands agent in every region, and they get people walking through the door, calling them, emailing them regularly. I think in the last week I've heard of maybe three new ones.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So after if we are successful in securing funding, then we go through the land transaction process, and that is the excellent work of our real estate shop. If we are able to purchase, we integrate those lands into our ownership, and then that goes into the management of the existing lands portfolio, which appreciate Commissioner Linville asking this morning to have a more in-depth briefing on how that works. But in general, know that across the state, we have 33 wildlife areas, 213 units, about 150 staff throughout the whole division. So there are wildlife area managers, assistant wildlife area managers, and staff doing work on the ground throughout all those locations. And we've talked a lot about the issue of stewardship and O&M and what that's needed. So today we're focused on this step, the Lands 2020 step, which is the gateway for funding pursuit. We're going to be talking about, we had 18 projects that moved forward through to the public comment period. Four of them have been removed after the public comment period, and you'll see those in red. Those are in Assotin and Garfield counties. And so I just wanted to give a few comments on those in advance of going through the 14 that I'm presenting here today. So WDFW does continue to see good reasons why these four pieces of land would be great assets to the public, fish, and wildlife. They would be strategic assets for WDFW ownership. We did receive support from significant sportsmen's groups and formal opposition from Assotin and Garfield County representatives, and as well as significant concerns from local legislators. Given the high level of effort required to acquire and properly maintain public lands in perpetuity, we have decided and chosen to prioritize acquisition projects in places where our efforts are welcome, and will not continue to pursue these specific four projects at this time in Assotin and Garfield counties. We do realize that this is disappointing to many, including to us, and this decision really does represent a lost opportunity to protect natural resources, agricultural interests, and public recreation assets. We are committed to and will continue to engage our wildlife area advisory committees and other community groups on resource stewardship, good neighbor practices. We are actually having some good progress on pursuing a coordinated resource management effort in Assotin County, which is encouraging, and the issues of working lands and public access in this area. So that is where we are with those projects. They may come around when things change in those communities. They may come back around. So moving into the 14 that I have to talk with you today, and I was talking with Commissioner Anderson at the break, this is a pretty dense Lands 2020. It's quite a few projects this year. The first one is in Spokane County, and it's 507 acres. It is an access along for Chapman Lake. So I should show you the picture first. It's easier to see. So the project itself would include potential eventual purchase from DNR of the entire parcel. That is their willing seller preference. And so we're working on an agreement with them about what that looks like. We currently have funding for from water access to purchase the road access and the footprint that would be for the actual fishing access piece of it. And this would be to restore access that was lost in 2011 that had been only previously available through a private resort. And this is a bass fishery lake and one of the only kokanee fisheries in Spokane County. So we have the existing money for that access and lakefront, and then the long term, the concept is land exchange and purchase. So in addition to the fishing benefits, there's valuable recreation opportunities for hikers, kayakers, hunters, and wildlife watchers. I'll move us to Grant County, Flat Lake. There's two parcels in this project, 60 acres. It would remove some private inholdings there. You can see, I'm not sure if you can see here, the two yellow pieces. And these lands within the Quincy Lakes wildlife area to ensure that development doesn't occur in these places and provide multiple recreation opportunities. Moving on to Okanagan County, and it's just notable that all three of the Okanagan County projects that I'm going to present to you today are actually supported by Okanagan County. We've been doing some really great work led by our regional director, Jim Brown, there, and great partnership, including this project, Hunter Mountain, which was actually brought to us by the county asking for us to purchase it. 420 acres. It's a partnership that benefits mule deer, shrub steppe obligate species, and the predators, gray wolf, that kind of go along with the prey associated with that. Like I said, it's a partnership with Okanagan County. They are looking to increase access to rock for the county, for their road systems, and this would allow them to purchase a piece of the property, and then we would purchase the rest of the property. Adjacent to federal lands there. Oh, there you go. There's the parcel adjacent to federal lands. Second one in Okanagan County is the Rendezvous Inholdings. I'm just going to put the map is sort of helpful to see up front. So it's three separate parcels adjacent to our Big Valley unit. You'll notice that most of what you'll see today are actually adjacent to existing properties. And again, that is part of our strategic filter that we are applying, and it's pretty strong in this year's slate. So these parcels provide crucial mule deer migratory corridors and have adjacency to state and federal lands. So it's part of a larger landscape conservation and public recreation for hiking, biking, wildlife watching, and hunting throughout the region. Chelan County, along the Wenatchee River, 1 acre. This is our smallest project. And so this project is a 1 acre donation that is supported by the Complete the Loop Coalition that we worked with to acquire the land for the trail here along the river. And this provides recreation and wildlife viewing, and the parking lot is important to be able to have that access there. The port is also going to be providing maintenance at the site they've been maintaining the trail, and it will extend to the parking lot. The only project from Region 3 this year is in Yakima County. It's the Wenas Clemen Mountain Edition, 1,105 acres. You can see it here embedded in our existing ownership. And this is a fee title, potential fee title combination with a conservation easement. There's some existing infrastructure there that is very interesting for us in terms of potential for a new headquarters for that wildlife area closer to the populated areas, and providing some ability to outreach and have a place for the public to engage with us. The habitat portions of this are really stunning and phenomenal and high quality. It includes 1.5 miles of mainstream of the Wenas Creek, 2 miles of fish-bearing tributaries in addition to that. And Wenas Creek, for folks who know about Mid-Columbia steelhead recovery, is a pretty key location. So I know that in terms of the habitat value, folks are very excited about this. We are partnering with the Cowichi Canyon Conservancy. They are also excited about the public access and recreation component, as well as the conservation component of this. Question.
Who's the current owner of
that? It's a private owner.
Okay. May I ask, is it used for ranching or anything like
that? There is some... I'm not sure. There's not ranching. She breeds dogs. She's got a lot of dog kennels. I think there may be some agriculture there.
Okay. We'll learn more.
There is storage and equipment for hay, and there's, yeah.
Question. Is there a water right associated with that property? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Strip that and sell it, or
I can get you the answer to that question. I don't know. Is Julie in the room?
No, but the water rights, there is more than one water right, and they will be separated out.
You can come sit up. Come up here and use the microphone for the recording, Lisa. This is Lisa Kaufman. She is from real estate. She's our Lands 2020 coordinator. She doesn't like to be in front of people, but she is highly knowledgeable and a great asset to the agency.
Right. So, yeah, there is water rights associated with this. I believe there's three. I'm not positive on the exact number. They're to be separated out and kept by another entity that's also going to be
involved in
this.
Washington Water Trust, I believe.
Yeah.
Is involved.
Did you say the Washington Water Trust?
Water Trust, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so we're moving on to the western side of the state, Region 4, Snohomish County, Eby Island, 58 acres. So this is a property, as you can see, adjacent to our existing ownership. It includes 25 acres of managed open wetland and 20 acres of forested wetland, again, adjacent to existing ownership, multiple species and recreation access for hunting and wildlife viewing. So we've got all kinds of great benefits of this. Question?
Do we still run cows on that land? Is it leased to...
Not that I am aware of.
Thank you.
Nope. Okay. Samish River Edition, 109 acres... and if you, so this is across the river from our current piece of Samish River unit. I think people are probably fairly aware that this stretch of river has high demand and has had some high conflict with regards to the recreational users and the landowners. And this does include 23 acres of managed wetland and water access on the Samish River. The Samish Flats ranks number 2 in the state of waterfowl hunting, and this would provide direct access to the most popular bank fishing for Chinook in the state. It's a pretty big deal. And it's within 1 mile of the largest waterfowl hunting in the county. And like I said, there's been such popular fishing on the bank there that the landowners in this region have had issues with people parking and various conflicts. So this would provide some relief to that conflict. Horseshoe Falls. So now we're down in Clark County. Small little 20-acre parcel that is right at the foot of a big waterfall that provides pooling and staging for native summer run steelhead. This is actually this is important in terms of access for the department to continue to monitor these populations, and also for the value to the fish themselves. This was actually we'll talk a little bit later about the public comments. We had 221 comments, public comments. This one received the predominance of those comments and support. I'm not sure the last count I saw was 89.
I think it's over 120.
Over 120. So the Wild Steelhead Coalition did an alert on this, and folks are really very excited about it. Cowlitz County, the Modro Project, which is 2.5 acres, it's also another small piece. This one is important for sound mounting conservation. It provides some connectivity between an existing water access site and the Modro Fish Trap and Faller Creek Hatchery. And it includes a building, a house, that would provide housing for staff to be able to steward those locations, as well as 1,000 feet of river access. Another Region 5 project, Skamania County Moss Cave, 68 acres. This parcel houses a bat population, which is important for its conservation, as well as the monitoring and wildlife viewing associated with this parcel. This would be a conservation easement. It is currently owned by the Nature Conservancy. We would take ownership of it under an agreement in which Pacific Corps would pay for the operations and maintenance as part of their mitigation for their FERC license.
Commissioner Lidvo.
On the Moss Cave property, I'm just curious, is there a cave?
Yes.
And is that going to be an attractive nuisance?
Yes. Well, there's a viewing platform, and so that would be part of the recreation management for wildlife viewing there, so that we would make sure that continues to be safe and provides quality experience.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, just to follow up, this is the cave that has bats in it.
Yes.
And as part of not bats in my belfry, is that what I heard down there? This question of liability is a very serious one. And so when there's a viewing area, is there already signs that say there's bats in here and, you know, don't go in there and spend the night and that kind of things? Or is that something that, if this moves down the line, something that we would be looking at and enhancing to make sure people know what's in there?
I have not been to the site myself. It's currently owned and managed by the Nature Conservancy. I would assume that they have the liability coverage that they need there. But regardless of the current situation, we would do what we needed to do in terms of signage before we get to that point. Yeah.
Yeah, My understanding is that there's actual gates on the cave itself so that they can view from a distance but can actually not enter the cave.
Hasn't been a sighting yet. Okay, we're moving on to Region 6. Grays Harbor County, Davis Creek Additions, 416 acres. There's potential for four additional parcels to be added to this Davis Creek unit. I was actually out here hiking around with my family a couple of weeks ago doing some, I guess, scouting for some waterfowl hunting because there were no waterfowl to be found, but it was a good time. And so this would include 4 miles of riverbank, habitat connectivity, both for riparian and terrestrial habitats, providing recreational opportunities for hunting, fishing, boating, and wildlife watching. We've got a couple of estuary projects coming up. This is in Jefferson County. This would be a transfer from the, this one is, this is a transfer from the Jefferson Land Trust, thank you. It's adjacent to our existing Discovery Bay unit in our North Olympia wildlife area. This includes the outlet of the salmon-bearing Snow Creek, and it would be part of the overall ability to reconnect the tidal channels and restore upland habitats. Provides and supports summer chum, fall chum, coho and steelhead and cutthroat, as well as shorebirds and waterfowl. And this would provide public access and recreation value for shellfish harvest and waterfowl hunting. Lots of support for those habitat values and restoration in this location. Next estuary project is Union River Estuary, 160 acres. Again, adjacent to existing ownership in the Union River unit. This would be a transfer from the North Mason School District. There are some buildings. There's an existing trail system, which is a popular recreational loop along the estuary with boardwalks. There is an impact from the restoration project on that trail, and there's commitment to reroute the trail to maintain it as the opportunity. And there are also two buildings that are used for education and outreach. So this is a pretty cool opportunity for us to actually have some interpretation and get people out on some trails, which is rare. Sometimes, especially with the buildings, the grant sources that we have don't allow us to purchase buildings, so we have challenges to be able to do that, or they don't allow us to put buildings on lands that we purchase for their habitat conservation value. So this one, again, is a transfer. It's associated with lands that were given to the school district through a will, so all of the commitments through that will carry through to us, obviously, and we have a little bit, we have an ability to do some new kind of outreach pieces with this, which was pretty cool. So that concludes the 14 projects throughout the state, and I'm going to summarize the public comment. So I will just note that on your summary sheet, the numbers are just slightly different from what you're going to see in the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint are the current numbers. We got a few more comments in, but they're in line with the percentages. So in terms of the highlights of the public comments, like I said, we did receive 212 comments, 86% of them were in support of the projects. They were in support for various reasons, including the ability of the projects to enhance open space, provide outdoor recreation, provide connectivity for wildlife, enhance wildlife habitat and species protection, and public access. Notable support came from Conservation Northwest for all projects, Black Hills Audubon Society for all projects, Clark Skamania Fly Fishers supporting Horseshoe Falls, Okanagan Land Trust supporting all of the Okanagan County projects, the Metow Trails and Metow Valley Citizens Council supporting the rendezvous projects in the Metow, Mazama Advisory Committee, which is appointed by the Okanagan County Commissioners, supporting the rendezvous projects as well. And in terms of concerns or opposition, there was about 14% of the project or the comments that came in were in opposition. I would say that I know that when the count was 29, it might be just a couple off now, 25 of those were in opposition just generally of state ownership of lands. So the concept of us owning lands. There was also some concern that that the Samish River would cause more overcrowding of bank fishing and make that worse. There was some concern about elk damage in the fields in Assiniboine County. There was concerns regarding pilt that were raised in Assiniboine County and Garfield County. And then there was a bit of a theme in some of the comments about why would the department be looking to own and manage more lands when we have this $26 million budget statement problem statement, which is, as you all know, sort of it's related but different because we don't use operating funds to purchase lands. Question.
You know, we've spoken before and have been tracking an attempt to move the PILT from the department to Treasury Department.
Yes.
And I was wondering, is there any progress in that direction?
Yes, there is progress in that direction. Actually, the PILT bill, there's a bill in both the House and the Senate to move the PILT payments from our budget to the Treasurer's budget, passed the House floor, I think last night, and has passed Senate Ways and Means. So we are in good shape moving forward.
That's terrific news.
Yeah, great,
I really
great
appreciate
support.
That. Thank you.
Absolutely. The one other comment about notable opposition came from Assiniboine County, the Assiniboine County Lands Committee, Garfield County Commissioner, Ferry County, and Ponderay County. So the next steps after this briefing are, as I mentioned, the director's final approval to pursue funding of the slate. Right now we are recommending the slate of 14 that I just presented to you. And when we get that that approval from the director, then again, as I mentioned, that goes on the green light list for land acquisition, and folks can move forward with their grant applications and pursuing funding.
Commissioner Anderson, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up a little bit, excuse me, with regard to the PILT, and that's obviously a major factor in terms of how many rural counties view favorably or unfavorably acquisitions, as you know, by the department, and getting that in the right queue, and obviously then having it fully funded is maybe a little bit two different things, but you know, clearly that's important. But the other aspect I think that's important is then the operations, and I think how these projects are then managed and implemented consistent with the purposes and the promises is critically important, and the trust that goes along with that, because we will clearly be going back into those same counties with future acquisitions for future acquisitions, and having a super track record with regard to what we said, being clear about that and what we do, and being clear and successful with that will go a long ways, because I think all of us up here understand the value of the lands for different purposes, and we want to make sure that that the program continues very successfully. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner Anderson, for those remarks. That is really squarely exactly where we landed with the Assiniboine and Garfield County projects and the commitment to work with those communities with regards to land management of the existing land ownership there. I do have a comment on PILT that I can do afterwards. Yeah.
You want to do that now and then go to Commissioner McCann?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Question on the Modro property. And looking at the map here, it's not clear, but by the description, it seems to me that this is near the Modro Bridge, and that trap is just downstream from the Modro Bridge. I can see a little bridge in there, but so this would be in association with what's described as the Modro Trap, which, for the commissioner's benefit, is that multi-million-dollar weir, steel and concrete weir that is so effective in sorting genetics out, from what we heard from our talk Thursday morning. So just want to make sure that that is the property that's there. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that additional context, Commissioner. I did want to remark a couple of things about PILT. We did have a work session in Senate Ways and Means on January 22nd, so if you really want to dig in, go look at TVW and see what we had to say there. We I presented along with Paul Jewell from the Washington State Association of Counties. It's probably the most in-depth that I've ever had that conversation. It was a really interesting conversation with the legislature with regards to understanding what the counties get, how it's distributed, and how that fits into their county property tax system. And I okay, and then just the one other comment with regards to what Commissioner Anderson mentioned on the full funding. So just to remind everybody, last session we did get the cap lifted on PILT, so we are paying full funding within the budgets that's available, but we are working forward, and our payments happen in April, and so counties are getting their due.
A couple of the properties. I just wanted to acknowledge Hunter Mountain and the work that's gone on with the regional director with that county, and to note that it's actually a partnership with the county. I know we often partner with DNR on land acquisition. Have we ever partnered with a county before on a land?
With a county? Yeah. I believe so.
Have we?
Yeah. Usually it's more of a silent partner. Uh-huh. This is a very active partnership.
That's really cool.
This one, and with them coming to us asking for it.
Gives me hope for Region 1. and then on Flat Lake, my recollection, there was a burn on that wildlife area. Is this burned land? And it was fairly recent. Do you know whether...
I'm not aware of that.
...acquiring burn?
Okay. Any other questions? Actually, the last slide is questions. And this is the point where I was going to acknowledge all the work of staff across the state, and particularly to recognize Lisa Kaufman, which is great because she's sitting right next to me. So thank you. No, that was it. Just that that it's fully funded at this point in the budget. It does, you know, it's a budget appropriation. The budget will now be appropriated potentially to the treasurer's office, and then in the long term there were three recommendations from the 2013 Department of Revenue report. One was to move the payments to the treasurer's office. The other two were to determine a consistent formula. And so work has been done on that. I'm anticipating that more work will need to be done on that, but we're picking that up next session, not in the supplemental session. The other piece is to get rid of the requirement for counties to choose between PILT and the fees, fines, and forfeitures from the wildlife violations, fish and wildlife violations. So work still in ahead of us.
I'm sorry.
You're warmed up.
Okay, I was going to ask if you could work with Nikki and get a link to that TVW piece, and then make it easier. Otherwise, we'll wig out, or you know, technology will overtake us.
So. Absolutely,
Commissioner Little.
I can't turn down the opportunity to point out that the fence in this questions picture is laying on the ground. And just to let you know, that's about $10,000 to $15,000 a mile to replace. Just wanted to point that out.
So this property is actually that Wien Ass property.
Yeah.
This is the Wien Ass property.
Right. Yep.
Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just with all the talk about the county taxes and all of that business, I would note that of the three that are down in my area, the Horseshoe Falls is supported by Clark County, and the Modro Bridge area thing is supported by Cowlitz County. So,
thank you.
Well, I guess I'd be remiss if I don't say something about the Samish River. It's going to take some planning and strategy to take care of that and get the kind of cooperation that's complements recreational fishing from the bank, but the responsibility for the people to take care of it as they should. So I'm sure you have a strategy. If I can be of any help, just say so.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And I know a lot of them. Well, that concludes, I believe, the briefing on this item. We do have four people on public comment. There will not be a decision on this today, as it was noted incorrectly on the agenda. So we have four people here. I'm going to call you up four at a time, if I may. For those of you that have been here before or haven't, 3 minutes. You'll be given, and a little beeper will go off. Ken Van Buskirk, Mendy Harlow, Joanne Tejeda. I think I only have three. I stand corrected. I got the names right. Come up, ladies, and have a seat there. Ken, take it away, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, commissioners, and directors. Just a little background about myself. If you look at the map there, my family has a 150-acre farm directly north of Highway 300. It's held in perpetual conservation by the Great Peninsula Conservancy. I've lived in this area for 55 years. I'm an old person, but I'm not grumpy.
You must leave then.
Yes.
The trail system.
You're at the wrong table.
The trail system identified in this potential acquisition is very valuable to the community, and it's been the subject of controversy. I was a former school board member. The school district owns this property. I had a discussion with the superintendent last evening. The DFW does have property adjacent to this property here, but also the Great Peninsula Conservancy and Forterra have property in this estuary. And to be frank, the WDFW has a hard time stewarding their existing properties. The GPC and Forterra have local stewards. I'm one of them, and I think we do a better job than the DFW currently does on their existing properties there. It's just too vast to manage. I submitted some written comments to you late last evening because I just found out about this meeting, and I wanted to elaborate just a little bit about those. I don't want to rehash them, but there's some issues and some liabilities involved with this acquisition. There are several guiding documents. One of is the will that was mentioned. There's also water rights involved with this property that I haven't heard any discussion about. And there's also a 1980 80s environmental impact statement that was done for that trail that I don't think anybody's really researched. So again, I just ask you, and I thought there was going to be a decision made today, and Nikki came up and told me that there wasn't. So I just ask you to table this until my written concerns can be verified with the school and their attorneys and investigated. So thank you very much. I'm happy to assist in that investigation. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Busker? Okay. Thank you very much. Next is Mindy Harlow.
Hi. Thank you for allowing me time to speak in front of the commission today. I'm happy to provide some public comment on this Union River Estuary Feller Wetlands acquisition. Like many people in Mason County, this place has a very neat place in my heart. I actually moved to the North Mason area back in 2003 to serve as an AmeriCorps member that was an environmental educator at that facility, and never wanted to leave. It's such an amazing place. At that time, the Feller Wetlands really served as like a mecca of environmental education, research, and recreational opportunities in our community. Each week, as AmeriCorps members, we would host hundreds of students at the wetlands property, and all of those students had an opportunity to work with environmental educators like myself and learn about the different wetland environments there, as well as their importance to the wildlife and fish species that utilize that area. Unfortunately, the buildings haven't been open to the public for a long time, and so that interpretive opportunity has been lost for a while, and I'm really excited to see this opportunity for access to that facility to be open again and partner with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on leading opportunities there. I'm the director of the Hood Canal Salmon Enhancement Group, so we own adjacent property to the wildlife area, and we actually have a maintenance agreement with Department of Fish and Wildlife to help maintain the trail system that exists on DFW land right now. So I think that the Department of Fish and Wildlife does a great job partnering with local organizations, nonprofit or county organizations, to help maintain their land with them and with the community. So again, I'm excited about this opportunity to preserve this asset within our community. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Joanne?
Good morning to all. I'm representing myself as a Belfair resident and trail user for the Feller Wetlands, and they are known as the hidden gem of Belfair, and a lot of people do go there and use the trails. I have walked them since 1990 and even helped with the whale excavation that now is the exhibit there with my daughter when she was 11. It was a great moment, and people still love to go there and see the whale skeleton. I think it's a logical and efficient action to unify the trail system. Many people that I talk to on the trail system are confused as to where the borders are and who owns what part of the trail, so it would be nice to have that unified. And I agree with Ken that the trail system is very valuable to the community, and there are other organizations around that can help with the management. So the Hood Canal Salmon Enhancement Group would be one of those with the exhibition building. And I think it would provide a great opportunity for more conservation education opportunities and outreach for the students and public by making this exhibition building more accessible. And finally, I think it would still follow Sam and Mary's original intention for the lands there to benefit the community and students and create a sense of community pride and unity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Linville.
I don't know. This is probably not a question for... did I miss it in the presentation, Cynthia? Is this building... the environmental educational building that they're speaking of, that will be department property. Is that correct? Okay. And is there any thought about whether or not that's going to be open to the public, or is that considered a benefit?
Absolutely. Looking at Derek Howery, our water quality manager, just
confirm that. That is my expectation. That's
correct. Thank you.
Cynthia, you've already spoken to these people. Do you want to make any comments to them today, or we'll just go on through our process and address these concerns as needed?
I'm not involved in the details of the community conversations. Derek is and Brian Hawkins is.
Okay.
I've communicated with them. They are having the conversations that need to be had.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Kehoe?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the public testimony today. Sorry about the snafu in terms of being noted as a decision today. my comment isn't directed specifically toward this property or any of the properties. I think they're all exciting, good opportunities, I am concerned about the budget. I know Cynthia mentioned that the acquisition doesn't come out of the operating budget, but certainly the maintenance aspect of it does come out of the, for many of the properties. Some of the properties have other arrangements. So, and then you couple that with, the department's reassessment or reevaluation of the costs for such properties, and our budget deficit. Hopefully, we can make progress on that. But I think, and we've heard a lot, and I don't know if it applies to these properties, but I think we definitely, the department for our properties that we own, we need to be good property stewards. We need to be good neighbors. In other words. I can just think of, a person, kind of a grumpy old man, not you, but that takes pride in his yard. I mean, I'm a city guy, so takes very, very much pride in and not just men and women, but in their property and maintaining it, only to have a neighbor or an absentee landlord who has their property in disarray. I don't want to keep going on and on. I know you've heard this, but I'm kind of channeling my inner Commissioner Holtzmiller here. I think we need to be, there's two things. Mindful of the costs in terms of operating and maintenance, make sure that we have property funding for it, and then also not only, and I understand Commissioner Linville, and just speaking with her this morning, has got a blue sheet prepped on kind of the maintenance aspect, and I think we'll hear more of that tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Or at least we'll hear your blue sheet request. Okay, maybe, but any event.
It's sort of an informal.
Okay, but So, yeah, this is, like I said, just to wrap it up, many, many exciting land acquisitions, but we just need to be mindful of the issues that I brought up. So, thanks.
Commissioner Linville, and then Commissioner Smith, I think.
This property also brings to mind another question. When we do talk about land maintenance after purchase, we talk about it as a per acre price. And so it suddenly occurred to me, not all of these, some of these properties have buildings associated with them. And so I'm wondering, is that taken into account specifically as the owner of a 100-year-old farmhouse? I know some of these older buildings are really challenging. So is there more money when there's buildings on properties?
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner, for the question. Yes, it varies, and in general, we do not take on many buildings. There is actually a lot of buildings in this slate, more than I've seen before. But we do have in the calculation, in the per acre calculation, we have it stratified, and there is a much higher per acre associated, depending on the amount of infrastructure associated.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Commissioner Keogh wasn't channeling Commissioner Holtzmiller, you go back one, Commissioner Perry.
Yes.
Who would always say that, you know, maintenance. And it's my experience over the years that we do a good job on that, but we can always be good stewards. And I think partnering with our refugees is always a win for us and the community, because our refugees are stellar part of bringing the communities together in that area. So I think having you there really adds a lot of value to our future partnerships.
Mr. Anderson.
Excuse me, having trouble with my voice today. This project, I happen to have property over on the Key Peninsula, so I know the area, and this is a well-supported area and interest by the community. So it's only a question, I think, of how this thing should be done, not whether or not it's a good project or not.
Mr. Thorburn.
Since you kind of mentioned it, passed over it, each of the wildlife areas have local advisory committees, and these have been pretty invigorated recently. We're updating wildlife area plans. We're getting local community involved in that planning. So just there is this structure of public input into stewardship that I think needs to be emphasized in this discussion.
Okay. Well, you folks from the public that came up and gave us your thoughts, much, much appreciated, and we'll look forward to hearing more on this in the future. Cynthia, nice presentation. Thank you very much. We're going to just keep moving right